This is Scott Richmond.
And Arnie Sherman.
You're listening to What Do You Know on News Talk KGVO, AM 1290 and 98.3 FM. Arnie Sherman, a good Sunday morning to you.
You know, great Sunday morning here. Grizz are in the NCAA men's basketball tournament. That's all fantastic. And we have one of my favorite people as a guest today, Michelle Uy. She was on the show about 3 years ago. You know, for our listeners, she's, you know, extremely well-educated, a BS in economics from the University of Chicago, a master's degree from the Kellogg School of Management. She went to the London School of Economics, became an entrepreneur, started Vim and Vigor, a compression stock sock company that's doing seven figures and, you know, has, you know, a good staffing operation. They're building a new, you know, warehouse, a 14,000 square foot warehouse in Missoula. And then she started ShopDot, which is online storefronts for small entrepreneurial companies. She's always got a good idea. She's always working on something new. She's an exciting person to hear from and to talk with. And I haven't talked to her in a while, so I'm anxious to catch up with her.
I am too, Arnie. She's always been a great guest. And you know what? Growth is in the she's in growth mode. And we love talking to people that are kind of, you know, defying the odds and keep on building, keep on growing.
Well, it's energizing for her and it's energizing for us to talk to somebody like that.
Absolutely. When we come back, our guests will be Michelle Uy from Vim and Vigor and ShopDot. Back after these words. Arnie, we are back with our guest, Michelle from Vim and Vigor.
You know, it's always great to welcome Michelle and see Michelle. You know, she's a friend of ours. She's an amazing entrepreneur, and we haven't caught up in a while. The last time she was on, we were talking about Vim and Vigor, a compression sock business, and she was just, you know, sort of percolating a new business, ShopDot, and now that, you know, is almost 3 years old. And so we want to catch up on what's going on with Vim and Vigor, what's going on with ShopDot. I read in the paper you're building a new warehouse out at the Y, and you know, it's all exciting. You've got a lot of stuff going on. You're juggling a lot of things. So we welcome you to the show, and we want to go through all of that.
Excellent. Thanks, Scott and Arnie. It's always a pleasure getting to spend the next 40 minutes to an hour with you guys.
So for our listeners who maybe haven't listened to previous shows, why don't you tell them a little bit about your background?
Yeah, so I'm from New York City originally. I've been in Missoula now for about 14 years. My background is actually in biotech and pharma. So I went to school in Chicago, spent about 10 years there, and then moved out to Montana in early 2011 and came up with the idea for my first company, which is Vim and Vigor, stylish compression legwear, after just driving around a lot and having really tired and achy legs. And a friend of mine, I was talking to him on the phone and I was complaining about how achy my legs were. And he said, hey, you should wear compression socks. And it's so funny. I think about this from time to time, how one person's passing comment completely can change. Yeah, like it's like no big deal. It's just like a passing comment to them, how it can change a person's life. Like, isn't that crazy when you think about it?
It is. It is. Yes.
Lucky you didn't say you should get some body armor. God knows.
I know. So I went down this rabbit hole of really wanting to create stylish, comfortable, high-grade, high-quality compression socks. And we've been in business now for about 12 years. So it's definitely been a journey. You know, no business is ever linear. It's had its ups and downs and evolutions throughout the past 12 years. But we're still standing and we are growing and things are in a really good spot. So it's been a journey.
You picked 12 years, some of the most, you know, roller coaster 12 years that you could ever pick, right? With COVID.
Seriously.
And economic, you know, twists and turns and you know, all that sort of thing. But you're absolutely right. I remember, you know, always thinking of compression socks as, you know, these beige things that you wear. You know, you see
on an airplane,
in the hospital,
bariatric
chambers wearing something. And you've made it to this, you know, thriving business. And your growth has been great too, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. And it's interesting. During that time, too, was also the birth or democratization, I would say, of creating an e-commerce brand. So, that has had a huge, obviously, impact on the retail world, because when I launched was in late 2013, 2014, when you really started to see e-commerce playing a critical role in retail. And obviously that's going, those are becoming challenges too, with as a brand, where and how can you acquire customers? The old ways of acquiring a customer of, oh, I want to try to sell it at Macy's or one of those department stores or, retail has changed. It's not really like that in a singular fashion anymore. It's just a lot more omni-channel. And so it's just a lot more complexity when you're thinking about starting a brand or starting a product-based company on, okay, that's great. You have a great product, but how do you acquire customers?
Right.
And it's definitely challenging
Well,
when
I would
creating a
never,
brand.
I was going to say, I would never expect at this point in time, sitting in my house, getting same day deliveries from Walgreens, Walmart, Amazon. You just go online and order something, 2 hours later, it's at your house in most markets.
Yep,
A complete
absolutely.
change from anything that, previously we ever had the opportunity to experience.
And I was going to say, I think it's quite an accomplishment to be able to start a business, sustain and grow a business, because we know so many businesses that we've spoken to have been either undercapitalized, didn't have the right marketing, and folded up, folded. But you've grown and expanded. Did you have anybody, two-part question, did you have anyone that you could rely on for advice and mentorship that really helped coach you through some of this, or was it really all learned, acquired knowledge that you built, trial and error? And secondly, have you had the ability to mentor anybody else who's been think who's started a business and wanted to grow a business? So have you been able to kind of help someone along?
Oh, for sure. I mean, one thing I always tell anyone getting into entrepreneurship in general, but definitely this type of world of creating a product and a brand is build your tribe, right? You need a support system. One of my early mentors, Mark Porter, who is based in Missoula, I remember going to his office when I was thinking of the idea of Vim and Vigor. And I was like, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and so excited. And he's, had done this before. And I was like, man, the highs are really high and the lows are really low in this business. And he's like, actually, the highs are really high and the lows are really lonely. And I think about that all the time because, when you're, especially you're early on, you're doing this on your own and you're living in your head so much about planning and thinking about what you're doing, especially if you don't have a big team of people. And then even as you build and scale, yes, the highs are celebrated by everyone, but the lows or the difficult times, you can't kind of dump it on everyone on your team. And so it can feel extremely, extremely lonely. So I've definitely had mentors along the way at different stages of my business, early, and they kind of come and go, and you utilize them in different ways. And so early on, it was definitely Mark Porter who gave me a kick in the butt on like, okay, are you going to do this or not? Like, if so, you better be doing this, 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 and this. I'm like, okay, I'll do anything you tell me to do because I didn't know anything. And then as I've grown in scale, I've definitely have like, communities. I have regular calls with other founders as well that I rely on. And there's a lot of sharing of information. There's a huge network if you're running an e-commerce brand, tons online. But I'm also part of this organization called E-Commerce Fuel. And you have to, I believe you have to be a seven plus figure seller in order to be part of it. But it's been such a great resource. And I've met some really great friends there. But absolutely. And same thing, where I'm always sharing resources, vendors, all that stuff constantly to anyone who would, needs that information.
Is the category that you're in with your products crowded, or has it started to winnow and started to thin out,
Yeah,
over
it's
those 12
funny.
years?
Yeah, some, there's definitely been brands that have come and gone. And especially in this market, I would say, and you can probably ask a lot of my competitors this too, I think we're definitely the leader when it comes to stylish compression socks that are high quality. For sure, we're definitely moving the needle and the bar there. I mean, we'll kind of come up with various terms that never existed before, and all of a sudden, every other brand creates it. Or we really were the first early on to think critically about different types of sizes and incorporating a wide calf size. And we named it, wide calf. I never really saw that term before. And then now a lot of the other brands are utilizing the same nomenclature for that. And so they're
Right.
definitely looking at us as a leader. We're
Sure.
pushing the envelope. I personally don't run the day-to-day of the business anymore, so that's been a huge adjustment over the past couple of years, so I can focus more on my other company. But it's taken a long time to get to this point, and it's
Sure. When
hasn't
you
been easy.
started, you didn't think it was going to be 12, 13, 14 years into this all of a sudden, right?
No,
No.
no, I didn't, and I didn't. And it's also not that particular company is bootstrapped, so there aren't any outside
Right.
investors.
You are one of the few entrepreneurs on the planet who turned down Shark Tank. Everybody's looking at Shark Tank as, they're the holy grail of, getting money. You didn't do it. And you survived, by figuring out how to finance this thing through, a combination of sweat equity and, taking less salary than you needed to survive, and all the things that a startup company makes decisions around.
Absolutely. And I think to kind of follow up on something you said, how hard was it to hire somebody? Who did you hire? How hard was it to hire someone? Because I have a business in Missoula, and I know there's, the talent pool is very special, specialized. There's not a ton of people to choose from. So how did you go about that, and who did you hire?
Yeah, especially when you're a startup too, you can't necessarily pay the salaries initially,
Right.
of getting people. My first hire was actually a salesperson. And one of the main reasons is I was actually still working. Vim and Vigor was a side hustle for the first couple of years. And so it was critical that I had someone making sales. I also had ordered for my first inventory run 10,000 pairs of socks that I had to sell.
Wow.
That was definitely a critical part. And strategically, I made the decision to focus on wholesale and brick and going to independent brick and mortar stores to drive sales and a
Right.
little bit of e-commerce, but really e-commerce wasn't a major part of our revenues in the early parts of like 2014, 2015. It's obvious it's now shifted completely, but like in the first 5 years or so of the company, it was predominantly wholesale. And we did that strategically to really, build trust within the community and just kind of establish a different type of business. So the first person we hired was a salesperson. And, from there, we've hired different, roles from, marketing to sales to fulfillment. And what's really interesting is it's really hard to hire in Missoula, in my experience, exactly the role that I need someone to play at that moment with that exact experience. Like I needed someone in a particular experience. Am I going to find them necessarily in Missoula? It hasn't been the easiest, and I'm sure other employers are saying that too. So my approach to hiring is their capacity to learn.
Sure.
So one of our, and being there's a couple of core values that we have at Vim and Vigor. One is one of the main one is unsatisfied. And another component that we hire for is we couple a high level of being unsatisfied with a high level of self-awareness. Because you can't just have a high level of being unsatisfied. You'd be hiring jerks all day, right? So we really look for high level of being unsatisfied and wanting to be better constantly, but also a high level of self-awareness where of themselves, of their approach and how they interact with others, and they can also take feedback really well. So it's finding that combination and then the capacity to be able to learn things. So a lot of people who come to Vim and Vigor don't have the experience, but they learn a crap ton being at the company. And so those are the types of people that we've been able to attract. It's worked for us so far. It's a lot harder to hire someone in Missoula with our specific experience.
And
What led?
what type of culture have you built? Sorry, Arne, what type of culture do you have there to keep them there, to retain them, to grow them?
Yeah, that is something that is really important because you do turnover is such a painful part of the company.
Right.
So We went through our evolution over the past couple of years. A little plug for Vim and Vigor is in 2024, last year, we made Inc. Magazine's Best Places to Work list.
Wow, what an accomplishment.
We were the
That's
only
impressive.
Montana company, only Montana company last year to make Inc. Magazine's Best Places to Work.
That's amazing. Congratulations. That's
Thank
huge.
you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let me get back to Scott's question. What led to the decision that you're not going to run this anymore? I assume it has to do with ShopDot. And then how did you find your replicant, so to speak, to take over the day-to-day operation?
Yeah, so the idea for ShopDot, I thought of the idea for ShopDot during COVID. And what ShopDot is, it's a platform that enables service-based businesses to easily sell products without having to carry the inventory.
Right.
And the area that we're seeing the most growth is actually in pet services. So think your groomer, trainer, daycare. Those businesses have high interaction and high trust. Service-based businesses in general have high trust, high interaction with the end customer. They're oftentimes recommending products as part of the services they provide, but they don't do traditional retail because they don't want to deal with the rigmarole of what's involved in carrying inventory, buying, stocking. So ShopDot is the solution really targeted towards service-based businesses. And our first entry is really in pet services and where we're seeing a lot of traction. So I thought of the idea for ShopDot during COVID when I unfortunately at the time had to lay off a lot of people on the team and was actually, interacting and doing customer service calls and all that stuff. And what I noticed is that a lot of medical offices were recommending Vim and Vigor to their patients. But they would call us and say, like, hey, I've got a patient in front of me. They're this size. This is a color I want. Can you ship it to them? And I'm just like, they can just go on our website and buy it. That'd be easier than you calling me and me manually entering the order. But a light bulb went off. I heard I, this happened a couple of times. And a light bulb went off, and I was like, wow, I'm a brand where my goal is to acquire new customers. There's an entire group of service-based businesses that want to sell my product or recommend my product and make money for it, but they're not like influencers, they're not like content creators.
Right.
They're just doing a service and they want to make it easy for their customers or clients to get the products that they love and recommend. And so that was like the idea for ShopDot. Didn't do anything. Even when I chatted with you, I was just an idea and I was just mulling it over. And I couldn't shake it. And same thing, it's one of those things when you have an idea sometimes. So a lot of entrepreneurs say that. It's not like an entrepreneur picks an idea. It's almost like the idea picks you, right? And you feel like that you have to kind of do this. So I just couldn't shake it. And so for that platform to be built out, I knew I needed to raise money. It was gonna, you can't just build half a platform. You have to build the whole thing. And so I made the decision to start to transit before I even began to start to transition away from the day-to-day at Vim and Vigor. So how did I do that? The first thing is I actually have had a senior director of operations who we had talked about her taking more and more responsibility to more of a COO, role where she's managing the day-to-day. So and we had started to work on that actually in like 2019. So slowly and surely I would give her more managing more parts of the business with the idea, even though I didn't even have the idea for ShopDot at all, I knew that sometimes in order for everyone on your team to grow and scale, if you're a founder-led company, you need to also grow and scale and you need to get out of the way sometimes, right? And
Almost all the time, and the founder is not the right person to, blow the company up. Right.
Exactly. I am great at 0 to 1. 0 to 1, I'm amazing. 1 to 2, I'm okay. 2 and beyond, you're going to want someone else, like frankly, and I know that about myself. And so I kind of have been really planning for this. And it just so happened that I thought of this idea for ShopDot, which really accelerated me to kind of focus most of bring all of my attention on this other business. And it allowed it kind of everyone to elevate, which is really great.
So before I switch completely over to ShopDot, Why did you decide to build a building in Missoula, rather than take an existing one or go somewhere more centrally located? Or what was your thought about, hunkering down and becoming a real estate
State
magnate?
developer, right?
Yeah, developer, right.
So we were renting, we've been renting and leasing spaces, since the inception, since the beginning of Vim and Vigor. And we were outgrowing our space. We were in like 3,000 square feet. We were not efficient. We're on top of each other, and people couldn't be in the office all at the same time. It was all that stuff. But there was nothing in Missoula that of about 5, 6, 7, 8,000 square feet. And it's just like a scarcity of that particular size. You can get something for 2,000 square feet, but not that size. And so I was like, crap, is this going to be a limiting component to the growth of the company? Is just space? I wanted to remove and think about how I could, not r really remove any friction for growth, right? Like when you're thinking about anything, but when you're thinking about a business, there's two ways to grow. There's one way is pouring fuel into the business where you're putting more marketing dollars and sales effort. That's fuel. But another way to grow is removing friction. It's the opposite side, right? And so when you're thinking about growth, not just 1 year, 2 year, 3 years, you need to think about what friction points can happen that's going to impede the growth of the business. And one that kept coming up is the physical space to do fulfillment. I know that I started my company in Missoula. I'm not leaving Missoula. I'm not, I wanted to continue to grow and scale here, but there was nothing for me in terms of for me to kind of
And
move on to that next step.
manufacturing, and where's manufacturing done?
In Taiwan. So all the products in Taiwan.
Well, that's gonna beg a few other questions, right? We're gonna wanna
Yeah, I'm
follow up on it.
sure. Yeah, right.
But so 14,000 square feet to be able to take in all of this product that you're getting that's coming in from Taiwan. Are you working with, and is this on behalf of ShopDot or on behalf of just Vim and
No.
Vigor, the
No.
14,000?
So we split it up. So I found a piece of property in late 2023, started work to build to maximize the space. So I built 14,000 square feet, but it's two condo units. So each one is 7,000 square feet or so. So Vim and Vigor is renting from one, and then I'm renting out the other unit. We have a lease out waiting for signature on that one.
Good.
So yeah,
The
that's
third
essentially.
party.
Yep, another part.
Wow.
So SK, so the building is not under Vim and Vigor. It's not under ShopDot. It's actually another company that I kind of entity that I created, which is a, this is kind of the
You
business.
have to.
A lot of people do this. Like if you look at, I know it's, depending on the audience here, Gianforte is making a lot of money renting out his buildings that he owned to Oracle, in Bozeman. This is obviously he's on a very different
It's a
level, but
great business if you, it's a great business, real estate.
real estate, and it's just like
Sometimes
another, yeah.
it is. Well,
Sometimes,
certainly
right?
where Michelle is in Y and
Oh yeah.
that type of inventory is scarce.
Exactly.
Right.
And the city and the county is investing a lot over the next 10 years in the
In
Y
that area.
area.
No, we
There,
know.
yep. Yeah. And so, and also Matt Malott is investing a lot in developing. I think it's going to be kind, there's where else are you going to go from Missoula, right? West.
Correct. Nowhere.
That's it. So I think hopefully it's a good investment. I have great, so far two tenants there, and that's kind
How
of.
is the manufacturing process? I mean, the building process. How that's a that's quite the task to be able to, contract. Did you have a contractor
I
doing all that?
did. Yes, thank God. I
Right.
worked with Carl Construction. Ryan Yarborough was my main contact there. They made the process as easy as possible. I mean, I've renovated and built homes, three plus of them at this point. So I feel comfortable with that process,
Sure.
but never a warehouse, right? Like all of the things
Yeah.
you have to think about. So it was a good
Yeah.
experience.
Is there room to expand on the property if need be?
No, I mean, we pretty much maximize that space of an acre of land with the 14,000 square foot building and all that. But
That's a lot of
if
space.
it is, I think we even in the 7,000, we can easily triple our business in that space.
Wow,
Before
that's
we flip,
great.
Before we flip to Shopdot, which I have a lot of questions about, Scott brought up an interesting point. We have a current administration that every day changes its tariff policies, right? It's some sort of weird destructive game of it's going to be 200% on wine, and then it's not going to be, or it's going to be, Canada's going to be, 500. I mean, it's just nuts. And at some point they're going to get around looking at, Taiwan, China, different industries, and you can't really change your whole business model based on a tariff thing that might evaporate in 48 hours after they say
I
that.
know. There's a tariff, there's not a tariff. I mean, you can go crazy predicting these
You
things.
can't predict any of it because it's
We have
not
to
predictable.
timestamp this interview, Arnie. It's the
I
13th that
know.
we're recording, or
Yeah,
we're
right.
recording
You never
Michelle
know what's
Huey.
going to happen
Right.
on any given Sunday. It can possibly change. So you have to have in one of your considerations is U.S. manufacturing, right? And that's not so easy to do because we don't make a lot of stuff. And
No.
if we do make it, it's cost prohibitive in some ways. It's for a much more
Oh,
upscale
yeah.
kind of product line.
It's not an easy thing where you can just turn the switch on and being like, all of a sudden, there's all these manufacturing facilities that are going to have it made in the US. Like,
No.
it's, and also with a product like Vim and Vigor, they're medical grade compression socks. Like our manufacturers, it's been passed on from generation to generation. They've been doing this for 50, 60 years. It's
Right.
technical product.
Sure.
So it's a very
Yeah.
difficult, and frankly, people assume that there is an assumption that people want to do that type of work.
Right.
When you're also pushing the idea of STEM and AI and all this stuff, and then you want to push manufacturing as well. It's like,
Right. Well,
there's
it's like agribusiness. We'll get rid of all the people that pick oranges and apples and grapes, and of course, there's going to be lots of people here who want to do that. Not happening.
not happening.
Won't happen.
It doesn't, it's such an out of touch situation of the ripple down effects on how this is going to play out. It's
Right. There's really not much attention to the consequences. It's not
no.
even unintentional consequences. It's no thought whatsoever about really the
None.
consequences. And
None.
So how is that impacting you locally though? Is there from a local standpoint, how supportive is our county, our state, our municipality to support your business? Forget about what federal's doing.
I mean, right now, we don't utilize, just because of the size of probably our business right now. I mean, obviously, if I had SBA loans, that's how I got the business started. So from like a city and a federal standpoint, that was really critical. Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to start. But there aren't this I do have to say that the state does have various grants for me to go to trade shows. And so there are some initiatives there to help some businesses with things like that. Some of it are going away, frankly. I know that it's been a challenge with Missoula Economic Partnership and the Big Sky, fund and kind of hiring of people. That's been kind of on and off on what type of funding there is going to be for that. And that's a critical lifeline for a lot of businesses. We've used it in the past. If you're a growing business, it could be very critical for you to be able to hire more people. So, it is definitely a concern for sure.
Well, it should be a concern. In my professional career, there have been times where the feds have shifted responsibilities to the state in business and economic development and in other areas. Fortunately, the money didn't shift. So we're going to shut down the Department of Education. The thought of that is, well, all that money that they were spending at the federal level, they're just going to give it to the states. That's not going to happen. States are going to have to find new money to do that sort of thing.
And the states are left to fend for themselves without
Exactly.
any additional resources, and that's really
Right.
difficult.
Totally.
So it'll it, I'm not it's I just was having this conversation yesterday with another business owner of like, what are you doing? How are you even preparing? And for us, We are really managing our expenses and just making sure that that's as aligned and tight as possible. There's not a lot of
Right.
extra that we are anticipating having. If things change or whatever, great, that's gravy, but we're definitely, planning for kind of the worst.
The number one strategy, I'm sure you've been taught, you know this. I mean, you're very smart enough, is build your customer base. You got to get more customers. And then some of them, you can amortize some of the additional expense across another 100,000 customers. You're in better shape. So you mentioned a very interesting point, and I've heard it from a number of other founders. The idea found you more than you found the idea for ShopDot. So you're building these online storefronts and trying to help these small businesses create new revenue channels for themselves. That's why they would be interested. It's not just convenience related to we like your product, so we want to be able to get it to our customers faster. You're not in the pet business, for example, but you want to help them create a way that they can maximize and increase revenue by directly connecting to products that they feel they should be, that they are recommending to their
And they're
customers.
just not making money off of it.
And they have to go find it. So how do you find these customers in the pet industry?
So with what ShopDot is, it's a double-sided platform in that we have to bring on pet brand suppliers, and we also have to work on getting the pet businesses like the groomers and trainers on, right?
Right.
So it's a little bit more of a complicated thing. And we focus our attention on bringing on the brands on first last year. So when we officially launched, I would say mid last year, we worked on bringing on brands. We now have probably over 100 pet brands on, thousands of products in the back end for ShopDot. And we're now working with groomer trainers, rescues and shelters is another huge area we're seeing
Huge.
a lot of
Yeah.
growth in. So, because what's great is that rescues and shelters and animal welfare nonprofits are able to sell products to help with fundraising, which they've
Wow.
never had before. So, we're actually going to a major trade show in Vegas actually in a couple of weeks. Maybe I'll see you there, Arnie.
Hopefully, I'm here.
I know. But that's a huge area because a lot of these organizations are having their funding, any type of federal funding, potentially taken away from them. And so they're looking for other ways to generate fundraising dollars. And so imagine being able to sell pet products by partnering with the brands on our platform and generating 15, 20, 30% of the sale. And so that's where we're really seeing a lot of growth. And for me, Arnie, we've chatted about this. I come from a family of small business owners. My dad had a franchise. He had a Carvel ice cream franchise.
Right,
My
we
mom
know
had a
that.
hair salon. And so, I feel a lot of passion towards doing anything to help the small businesses look for ways to generate more money.
Right. Have you looked at the site Rover? Have you looked at
Of
Rover?
course.
Yeah.
We would love to
That's
partner with
hundreds
them.
and hundreds of pet sitters, and they
Oh, man.
recommend stuff to the families of the
Oh,
dogs
yeah.
they're taking care of.
And the pet industry is frankly pretty, relatively speaking, recession-proof. It's a growing industry. I mean, once you're a pet parent, you're always a pet
I was
parent
just going
type.
to say it's such an interesting industry because I get hit all the time with franchise opportunities, and most of them are pet grooming, mobile pet grooming, or pet related. Of course, it's the algorithms because I search a lot for animals because I have pets, but it is amazing that that's an explosive category that is
Huge.
recession proof.
People will skimp on things for themselves, but
Food.
they're not going to skimp on things for their pets.
Hey,
If
I
a
spend
pet
more
likes a
money.
certain, yeah.
I look at the treats that I eat and the treats my dogs eat, and their treats are a lot more expensive than mine.
So
So
is
ShopDot, is ShopDot, so you said the pet industry, so are you kind of, did you program to that industry? Is that really where the start, that how that happened? Are there
So
other
here,
categories you can do as
yeah.
well?
That's a great question, Scott. So, what's interesting about Shopdot in general, it's industry agnostic, really, for any service industry. However, we're initially focusing in on pet, mainly because there's a huge opportunity and we've had the most interest in the pet industry. So we're actually focusing as a company all of our efforts and energy into the pet industry. But what's really interesting is we recently had other associations or industry groups reach out to us. I'll give you an example in the dental industry. We had a dental association reach out to us and say, I'm taking a look at Shopdot and what you're doing. I see what you're doing in pet. We want to do this in the two with the 200,000 dental offices in the country, enabling
Wow.
them to actually sell products without carrying the inventory and building these Shopdot storefronts and things like that. And so we're actually going to be working with this group and organization, I would say probably early summer. To really take the entire and really license the platform of Shopdot, but in the dental industry. So even though as a company we're focused on pet, we're having all these other groups. Like think about it, chiropractor, physical
Well,
therapy.
they're all mom and pop operations,
Exactly,
you know, and most
exactly.
of those people that are, I know, dentists and are a good example. They're not entrepreneurs in the normal sense of the word. You know, they decide to start their own little practice and they hire dental assistants and, and people that clean teeth and whatever, but they don't know. They're not into product merchandise.
Exactly.
How does it differ and differentiate from like a Shopify, which is, literally spending, so much money to market their own platform? How do you differ from that?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, none of these groups that I'm talking to you about, these businesses would ever create, I mean, for the most part, a Shopify store. Shopify is way too complicated. It's much more centered on Vim and Vigor uses Shopify, like an e-commerce brand uses Shopify.
Got it.
But these business, it's way too complicated for them to have. So that's number one. The second component of Shopify, it's really built for you to carry your own inventory, right? And so you're like shipping it out on your own. The whole idea of Shopdot is really easy plug and play. Like you can create an online storefront with our template in minutes, and all you're doing is publishing the products that are already on with real-time inventory. And then when your client or customer buys from your Shopdot storefront, the order goes back to the brands to then drop ship it to the end customer. So it's e-commerce plus drop shipping all in one.
I
And so that's a
see.
huge differentiator,
And you
I think of
just
our
have a
platform.
click on their website, right? Somebody they'll
A
say, go to
shop
my
page,
website.
yeah, they can put
Yeah.
it on their site as like click here to see our shop, and which is exactly what people are doing.
Or is there an auction? Are you contemplating like an auction or a fundraising kind of component to Shopdot?
That's funny that you say that. We are so because we're seeing a lot of interest with rescues and shelters and nonprofits. We are working on that right now. So the ability to actually track fundraising dollars for those organizations too, and promote it in a way. So it really maybe they have a contest of like, hey, help us get to $20,000 in fundraising. But what's great is that those community, they're not just giving money, they're actually buying something that they need for their pets, but at the same time actually supporting their organization with, because they get all the commission for the sale. So it ends
That's
up being
great.
just win-win.
Well, it's really, as I think about this, I get more, into it. Like, I mean, the idea is so great. I mean, I remember going into, animal control, or you're going to take your dog or your cat, and they got very little there for you to buy to when you're taking your brand new pet out of there. They give you a temporary collar, they give you a little bag of dog biscuits or something. But if they had a click on, we could click on order all the stuff, and when you get home tomorrow or the next day, you had everything you needed, it would be perfect. And it
Let's
would do a
do a
quick,
quick. Yeah, I was gonna say, let's do a quick ID. Michelle Huey is our guest, Vim and Vigor and Shopdot. Let's review. We talked about Vim and Vigor. We talked about the warehouse. We talked about your manufacturing. We talked about Shopdot. What's next, right? Because we talked about staffing and kind of resources. And you always seem to, you're always like a couple steps ahead of everybody else. And give us the benefit of your thinking in terms of,
What do you think is around the corner that we're not we're not concentrating on today, but is right there, you know?
Wow, that's a hard question. I'm gonna have to think about that a little bit. We can
Yeah.
come back to that. But yeah, kind of getting back to the staffing thing that I don't think we kind of totally closed the loop on that was, on average, the people on my team have been with me for I think 7 years on average, which is a long time considering the company's been around for 12.
Definitely.
There's a couple of things that we also have done. About 2 years ago, we went to a 4-day work week, which is like unheard of. No, like people have talked about it, read about it. When I'm saying 4-day work week, I'm not saying, 4 10-hour days. I'm saying like true 4-day work week. And that's it. That's, I think, been a huge, huge thing where, people are obviously much more productive during that time. Like, who really works a solid, concentrated 40 hours? Not, like, let's be real here. Just like I don't think the human body can really sustain that, but if you actually enable people to have some downtime, and have that kind of creative capacity to do other things, I know at least for myself, when I'm just working and grinding it out all day, I'm not as creative. When I go out and I explore and I talk and I interact, I'm so much, I come back to it with a new lens. And so
Refreshed.
I exactly refresh, and I think that that's critical in really any role. So that's a one component too. In terms of what's around the corner, I have honestly no idea. Obviously, just been. I think what we're going to see, at least from my industry, let's take Vim and Vigor industry. I think we're going to see a lot of brands not making it. Some of your favorite brands that are even larger brands you're seeing, some are really closing the doors. I think that from a retail standpoint, it's still such a challenge to really figure out what do we do with physical brick and mortar retail, and how is that looking and how is that evolving in this current landscape that we're in, right? When you have e-commerce, when you have same day delivery, what's the role at brick and mortar physical retail? I think that that's continuing to change and evolve. And obviously there's been talk about obvious those brick and mortar stores being a resource for experiences and expertise. And I think the stores that actually provide that level of experience and expertise is going to continue to do well. But if you're one of those stores that do not have that, I think it's going to be pretty challenging.
Sure.
And I do think that, I mean, I've spoken to a lot of founders and who are really truly struggling with acquiring new customers. Meta, which is a main area that people go on to acquire new customers, is getting more and more expensive, crowded, a lot more difficult. SEO is getting more difficult with the introduction of AI with Gemini in Google. So there's a lot of changes with AI as it relates to how it's going to affect the industries that I'm in.
Well, AI is going to affect almost every industry because
And yeah.
I see myself even falling into the trap asking AI, what's the best eyeglasses to buy? And even if you don't ask them, if you do a search now, you get an AI answer to most of the
You
search.
do. You do,
I don't even know
yeah.
you're interacting with AI.
No, I
Exactly.
know.
Well, what's interesting about your business though is you're moving into frictionless code-based kind of products, which is feels like that's what ShopDot is. So you're not handling any inventory. It's
No,
code. It's code.
exactly.
So from a resource standpoint, are those folks that you're working with doing the code-based work here in Missoula, or are they third-partied out, or
No.
free? They're
Yeah,
all over the
they're
place.
all over. They're all over. They're not really in Missoula
But
now.
you have people here in Missoula managing them. Amazing. How big is the staff, Michelle?
It's about not big, like 6 or 7 people. It's such a different thing
This
than
is
launching
Shop
a
Dot,
physical.
or this
Yeah,
is
Shop
Vim
Dot.
and Vig, and how about
Yeah,
Vim and
it's about
Vigor?
Vim and Vigor's about 12 people.
Wow. So
Yeah,
still,
so
you employ 20 people here in Missoula. That's pretty impressive.
it's so One of the interesting things about technology relative to the product. So, the product itself, you work on the kind of design and tweaking and iterating, of course, before you even launch. So, it's in a really good place. And then, yeah, you're making these micro changes just on fit and things like that. But it kind of is like there's only so much you can tinker with it. It's like if it's good, it's good. With technology, it's never, it's like, man, taking the word unsatisfied, it never ends.
No,
And the
and it's
more
always
people who you,
changing.
yeah, and the more people who use it, the more different components of it break a little bit, right? And it's definitely a different mind shift, that's quite different from like a physical product.
Sure.
Of course. Let's do
Absolutely.
this. Let's take a quick break. Our guest is Michelle Huey. She's with Vim and Vigor and Shop Dot. Back after these words. Arnie, we are back with our guest, Michelle Huey.
So you've had a jam-packed last 14, 15 years as a startup entrepreneur. What are the couple of lessons that you've learned during that hard-earned and hard-learned lessons that you would share with our listeners?
Yeah, I would say in the early days, every time something went wrong or didn't go as planned, it would definitely upset me a lot. And one of the sayings that my life partner would say is, you got to expect losses. And at the time, I'd be like, this is not what I need to hear right now, right? But at the same time, it actually made a lot of sense because it's just part of the job, right? Like, so when you don't think of it as anything more than there's going to be ups, there's going to be downs, it's just part of the job, it helps you just navigate mentally. It's such a mental game. At like being an entrepreneur is completely a mental thing, and it's like being able to kind of live to die another day, right? Like putting one step in front of the other, and then like the survival of the fittest. I hate to be such a Darwinian approach to it, but it is. So I think that that is one is you got to expect losses. It's just part of the job, and especially for me, I've had so many ups and so many downs. And the bad times are never as bad as you really think they are. And the good times too is like, okay, it's not like you don't want to celebrate the wins, but they're you kind of have to like, okay, not take them as like, okay, it's going to change my business now because you just can't predict
Michelle, what do you do when you're not working? Like, what do you enjoy doing
it.
besides work? Because I know how much you enjoy work.
I really love work a lot. I'm very lucky in that regard. I actually really love to fish. So during the summer, I'm generally in, for the most part, in Thousand Islands, which is in upstate New York, right along the New York-Canadian border. And I fish on like almost every day, like, or, several times a week. And I catch smallmouth, largemouth, and I picked up fishing when we moved up there four plus years ago for the summers. And it
Is
was,
Kyle fishing with you
oh,
also?
he's an Eagle Scout. So yes, he he taught
Good.
me how to tie, flies and all sorts of things.
That's fantastic.
And it's I love fishing. It's a one thing that I do where you're just really focused on that. Like, oh, is that a fish nibbling on your worm? And you're just like, oh, is that, you're just so present and like so in tune.
That's
And
what
it's
Scott and I, that's what Scott and I think about when we play golf. You're just focused on golf. You don't think about
I
anything
know I'm going to take up fishing when I retire, though, Arnie.
else.
I decided that.
Golf is, I'm still into the golf thing.
So we have
Michelle.
with a minute left, Michelle, any last words of wisdom, right, Arn?
And how do people get a hold of you?
Yeah, how do people get a hold of you?
Okay, you can get a hold of me on LinkedIn. Michelle Huey is, my LinkedIn handle, or you can email me at Michelle at shop.app.com. If you have any other ideas on where shop.app can be applicable to, would love to hear it. In terms of words of wisdom, it's again, the good times are never as good, the bad times are never as bad. So let's just put
That's a
one
good
step
way
in
to
front of
end
the
it.
other.
Michelle,
I
it's
like
always
it.
good to talk to you and catch up on what you're doing.
Same. It's always a pleasure.
I would agree. This has been a delightful conver This has been a delightful conversation, Michelle. We'll see
Awesome.
you next. We'll see you next time. Don't Let's not wait 3 years. We'll do it sooner than that.
Yeah, I would love that.
All right, Arnie, I'll see you next week.
See you next week, Scott. You take care.
Thank you for listening to What Do You Know?
I can't wait for the next show, Scott.
I'm excited too, Arnie. If you'd like to suggest a guest, send me an email at scottrichman@townsquaremedia.com. We'll see you next week. And thanks for listening to News Talk KGVO.
This is your captain. We are going to be experiencing some slight turbulence. Please fasten your... Oh, hold on. Just got a video of my cat.
Imagine the pilot of an airplane was as confident as you are texting and driving. Seems kind of crazy when you put it like that.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.